Good morning and welcome to Fitter Happier. We are currently midway through June, which is National Burns Awareness Month in Australia, an initiative developed by KidSafe with the aim of increasing awareness of burns prevention and the correct first aid treatment for burns. Severe burns and scalds can be devastating to a child and their family, requiring multiple hospital visits and lifelong scarring. However, many of these injuries are preventable. This morning, we have Scott Phillips, the Chief Executive Officer of KidSafe WA, with us to discuss Burns Awareness Month. Welcome to the show, Scott, and thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
So, Scott, tell us a bit about your work at KidSafe WA.
So, KidSafe WA is an injury prevention charity. We particularly focus on children under 18 and the accidents that may happen to them. Currently in WA, we have about 19,000 children a year attending the emergency department for an injury or accident. 8,000 of those children will end up in hospital, and unfortunately, still 24 children a year die from an accident.
So why is National Burns Awareness Month so important, and what initiatives are KidSafe undertaking throughout it?
So during June, as you said, we partner with the Australian and New Zealand Burns Association across the country in New Zealand to make sure that we raise awareness of burns, particularly in the winter months where we know a lot of it starts to happen. From our point of view, there's 18 children a week being admitted into an burns unit in Australia. And just in WA, we have 500 children a year who will attend the emergency department, and a third of those children will end up in hospital. And as you said in your introduction, a burn is an injury that's lifelong. It can have more effects than just physical and psychological effects, social effects on that child and that family for many years. So it's really important that we just highlight some simple things during this month on how you can avoid people coming in contact with a burn. And the other thing is, if there is a burn, what is the best first aid to make sure those lifelong consequences are minimised?
Those are really high numbers, as you were saying. 18 a week in hospital that come through with burns, and you were saying 500 as well a year of WA children as well. So what are the sort of common causes of burns and scalds as well there?
Well, the most common causes we know for us is, and if I concentrate down to children, and Burns Awareness Month is about all ages, but if I go down to children, we know that of those 18 children a week into a burns unit, we have most of those are happening in the home, and 50% of those children are under five. So where these things are happening is, you know, it's happening from hot food and drinks, particularly hot water in baths, heaters and fires, appliances, microwaves and ovens, lack of supervision around fires like barbecues, fire pits, and quite often lack of working smoke alarms that haven't been checked in your house.
So what hidden hazards are there that cause burns or scalds often go unnoticed that parents should be aware of, especially at home?
Well, if we move through the house, we know the kitchen is the number one place for this to happen. But if I just look at some common children-related things, we see children who will pull a hot drink down on themselves. People often have a coffee or a tea going, and a child will copy you trying to get it into their mouth and they spill it on themselves. People will pull cords on kettles to pull things down, or they'll pull a tablecloth if you have a tablecloth and pull hot food onto themselves. If we move into the bathroom, again, it becomes hot water in the bath. That becomes a problem, and children having access and not enough supervision. Within our living areas, quite often it can be a heater or a fire. And more we're seeing people put fire pits into their yard, or, you know, having the outdoor kitchen with the barbecue. And quite often unsupervised children in those situations can experience a burn.
So there are quite a few risks inside and outside of the house, as you were saying. So what are some of the preventable measures that people can take to ensure that they can avoid burn injuries?
So our number one tenet around injury prevention is supervision. And that supervision is very close supervision when children are very young and exploring, but still requires supervision right up into those teenage years, particularly around things like fire pits, barbecues. Within the kitchen, some of the things that we would suggest is, you know, use those back burners on the stove so people can't pull things down on them. If you do have a hot drink going during the day and you've got young children, use one of those travel mugs with a lid on. As we move to the bathroom, it's really important that we have tempering devices in our bathroom, which is legislation, but quite often we can be in older houses or renovating an older house. So it's really important that we have a licensed plumber look at the tempering of water. And the number one reason for tempering water is at 50 degrees, it takes 5 minutes for water to burn a child. But at 60 degrees, it takes 3 seconds. So tempering devices will limit the water, with particularly in your bathrooms, to 50 degrees. We also, again, supervise, but have some tap guards so young ones can't play with the taps and inadvertently scald themselves. And as we move to the backyard, there's a number of things there, and it can be pool chemicals not stored properly that cause a burn. It can be unsupervised children around fire pits, which we all like at this time of year in our backyard, or a child reaching up to a barbecue. So just supervision, making sure we have guards around things when we have young children, and just being aware that if we have cordless appliances and we push things back to the back of counters, then little hands won't reach up and grab them.
For sure. So making sure that parents or legal guardians are really supervising kids around these environments. And if somebody does receive a burn, how should they be treating it?
So this is the most important message we're trying to get out, is that how that burn's treated at the beginning really has a huge effect on how the burn acts later in life. So we have people at the Fiona Wood Foundation that we work closely with, and they have done a lot of research into what's the best way to treat a burn. So the first thing is, if you have a burn, you need to remove any clothing, jewellery away from that burn. And the most important thing, which we need people to understand, is 20 minutes of cool running water. So that's a full 20 minutes. It's a long time, but you do need to run cool running water over that burn for the best outcome for the burn. Then after that, it's a clean dressing on it, and no butter, no ice, no oils, no ointments, because quite often those things will increase the burn or hold the heat within the burn. So you don't put anything on that burn except cool running water for 20 minutes. And also, if that burn is bigger than a 20-cent piece, or it's on the face, hands, feet, buttocks or genitals, then you need to look for medical help.
So as you were saying, if it's more in intimate parts or of your hands, face, et cetera, at what stage beyond sort of that 20-cent mark that you were saying, if it's bigger than that, what stage should you seek professional medical attention for a burn?
Yes, when it's getting bigger, because a burn can have a number of effects under the surface, and it's really cooling that burn. But if you're unsure, if you're ever unsure, you seek medical advice. But if it is bigger than the 20-cent piece anywhere, or if it's on your face, hands, feet, genitals or buttocks, you should seek medical advice straight away.
And lastly, Scott, where should people go for more resources or information on burns?
Well, there's KidsWA have a link there to our Burns Awareness Month, which is a national awareness, so at kidsafewa.com.au. We also have Healthy WA has their Burns First Aid on their site at healthwawa.gov.au. And we have a number of other resources, particularly in WA. And if people look up the Fiona Wood Foundation, they have resources there. We also have a burn injury research unit, which you can access through the UWA website. But if you head to the KidSafe WA website, you will find links to resources and information on all of this.
Thank you so much for joining us on the program, Scott. We appreciate your time. I've learnt heaps about Burns Awareness Month, and of course, going out to our listeners, check out the websites that Scott recommended as well. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. Bye.
That was Scott Phillips, Chief Executive Officer of KidSafe WA, talking about Burns Awareness Month, an initiative developed by KidSafe with the aim of increasing awareness of burns prevention and the correct first aid treatment for burns. So for more information, as Scott said, check out KidSafe Australia's National Burns Awareness Month page on their website, or check out healthywa.wa.gov.au. On that website, you can also check out the Burns First Aid Treatment Guide.